Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Our theme, bear fruit, and what you feed on shapes what grows. And our particular fruit today is faithfulness. And when we talk about faithfulness, here we are talking about being steady over time. We are not talking about being faithful only when things are good. We are not talking about being faithful when we can see the answer. Faithfulness is remaining steady with God over time, through the good and the difficult times. And in today's life, every one of us is feeding something, whether we realize it or not. We are feeding something. We feed our bodies by what we eat. We feed our minds by what we read, what we listen to, and we feed our habits by repeating them over and over again. We feed our relationships by the time and attention that we give them. And we feed our spiritual lives too by what we read, how we pray, and what we allow to shape what we believe about God. Some of you have walked with God for 20, 10, 30, 50 years, and you can still believe that faith has to be fed through that walk. And whatever we continually feed eventually grows stronger. Let us just think about an ordinary morning when we wake up. Before some of us have even got out of bed, the phone is already in our hands. We read the news, you see another war has come. See another bombing, we are bombing these ones up. Another family is forced from home. We see stories, children going hungry. We hear about the cost of living and all the uncertain things like jobs, sickness, crime, political disagreements, distress. And here in the North, we all know about the pressures of high costs of living, the long distances, the winters, you all know about them because you live here. The uncertainty of the wildfires and all the troubles that come with all this season. It's not only there and in our own church families. People carry concerns about health. This is now with us. About children, about aging parents, work, finances, and relationships. And sometimes before you really get out of bed with all these things, and even before you say, oh Lord, thank you for another day, our mind is already tired by seeing all this. You wake up already tired and worried about the day. And these are not just imaginary things that we are talking about. But in places that are really affected by war, including places like Sudan, Gaza, the Ukraine, ordinary families that actually live there live with this loss and uncertainty. They have seen homes destroyed. Parents lose children, and children lose parents. People flee with whatever they can carry. Food becomes scarce. Hospitals close. And people who once lived their ordinary lives, suddenly they lose everything that they had. They turn into refugees overnight. And so when all these things are happening, we sometimes ask ourselves, all this that is happening, where is God in all this? Can we still trust him with all this that is happening? What does faithfulness mean when the world itself is so uncertain with all that is going on? And these are not only questions about the world out there. They are questions that follow us even in our homes. Because suffering is not only something we see on television, but it is right there in our own homes. In our homes, just a medical appointment can change the direction of that entire family. A job can disappear. Relationships keep breaking. Children are struggling, and we do not know what to do. We have bills to pay. Cost of living is so high. But what do? We can pray about things for months, for years, pray to God, and nothing seems to ever change. So when life becomes difficult in these moments, what are we as humans allowing to fill our hearts? What is coming into our hearts at that time when life is so difficult like that? Do we keep feeding worry? Do we keep thinking about this problem day, night, every day? Or do we keep replaying what went wrong every day, every month, every week? Do fear, anger, or disappointment become the loudest voices in us at that time when life is so uncertain? Or do we make room for God's word and his promise in such circumstances? Whatever we feed at that time grows. Feed fear long enough, and fear will grow in you. Keep feeding hurt, and bitterness can grow. Keep feeding hopelessness, and hope will begin to disappear. But if you feed your heart on the promises of God, remember what God has done in the past for you. Remain with his word, and something else will begin to grow. And that something else is faith. And when faith is fed steadily over time, it begins to produce fruit. That fruit is what we are considering today, faithfulness. In Galatians 5, names faithfulness among the fruit of the Spirit. And faithfulness is not one dramatic moment that things will suddenly change and turn. It's not that we dramatically or all of a sudden become courageous. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is the steady decision to continue with God today, tomorrow, and the next day. But this idea of remaining steady with God through both good and difficult season raises an important question to us. When life is genuinely difficult, is it realistic to keep trusting in God? Things are so difficult. Should I really continue trusting in God? And our two readings today try to answer that question. They do answer that question. That even in those days, God's people also knew uncertainty. It's not just coming to us now. It has been there. In Hebrews, just highlights about Hebrews. Hebrews was written to believers who were under pressure and becoming weary in their faith. Some had suffered because of following Christ. And some had experienced hostility and loss. The temptation to lose confidence at that time was great when Hebrews was written. And when you look at chapter 10 of Hebrews, chapter 10 was really preparing us for chapter 11. In chapter 10, the believers were called upon to persevere and not throw away their confidence. That's in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And in chapter 11, this answers that question. What does persevering faith actually mean? So here, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Again, I try to understand what we mean by confidence. We are talking about someone being confident. If someone says confidence, what does that really mean, to be confident? Again, in plain terms here, confidence is just not a feeling. It's not a feeling that you feel, oh, I'm feeling confident. No. It is a settled trust that treats God's promise as good before we ever see it happen. It's that confidence, right? And then assurance is not proof of something, but assurance is being sure in your heart, not because your eyes have seen it, but because you know the one who promised it. Again, in that assurance, like I would just give some example of a little child. You all have young children, and some of you are fathers. That child will really, if that child is going to jump towards you, that they will really be so confident if you are the father. However weak you are, they are so confident that this father of mine is my defender. They will run to you for anything. So that's the confidence and assurance. So the scripture does not say that faith is confidence because we can see exactly how things are going to be. No. Faith becomes necessary precisely when we cannot see the end. When we can't see the outcome, that's when faith becomes really necessary. And Hebrews 11 goes ahead to give us the whole gallery of people who lived this kind of faith. Hebrews talks about Abel, talks about Enoch, talks about Abraham, and talks about Sarah and many others. Their circumstances were different. All these people we've talked about. But one thing joined them in what we talk about in there. They trusted God beyond what they could immediately see. They had that trust in God. And the writer calls them a great cloud of witnesses. These are ordinary people whose lives now testify to us that faith tested over time holds. Faith is not pretending that problems are not there. No. Faith faces the problem and still says, I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know the God whom I have placed my trust in. That's faith. And when we look at Hebrews, Hebrews shows us people who are walking forward without seeing the whole road. In Lamentations, when we read, this takes us again somewhere even harder. What happens then when you lose everything that you ever worked for? What happens then when everything you ever hoped for is gone? What happens? That's what we are seeing in Lamentations. Yeah. Again, Lamentations come out of the catastrophe. Jerusalem had been devastated. The city had been attacked. Homes and places of importance were destroyed. People were killed. People were carried away. And those who remained were living with grief and insecurity and loss. That was then. That was in Jerusalem. But what is it that we have today? That was then. We are talking about today. These sufferings are not just for those days. And today, our ruins may look different as compared to Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem may not be the destroyed city that time. And your ruins when I mean ruins, I mean the leftovers, like R-U-I-N-S, because I may not be pronouncing the word properly, but that's what I mean. Ruins, like things that are left over, like everything, the rubbles and all that. So your ruins may not be, your ruins today may be the health that you thought you would always have. You see, Jerusalem was good still at the time, but now it was in rubbles, destroyed everything. And we're saying that your ruins, your leftovers, may be the health you thought you would always have. You really thought you'd have a good health. But it's not. It's not what you thought. The ruins may be the relationship you thought you would have, or the relationship you thought would last, and it didn't last. It's not there. It may be the person you never expected to marry, or the job you thought would secure. It could be the child you are worried about every day, every night. It may be the prayer you thought God would have answered by now. I've been praying to God for all this. It's years, decades, never been answered. And right there in the middle of lament, in all this, as you are thinking about all that, then comes these words, as we read. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness in all that. That's what we read in Lamentations. What does this mean? In plain words, it's telling us that we are still there. Not because we are strong enough to survive, but because God loves us that much. That's why we are still holding on. His kindness has not run out on us. And every single morning, before we have done anything to earn it, God gives us fresh mercy. Like the sunrise that does not depend on how yesterday went. And That is what great is your faithfulness means. God keeps showing up to his people each and every day, regardless of your situation. And when we see when great is your faithfulness was spoken and taught to the people, this wasn't spoken because everything was going well. No. We have seen when this was spoken, Jerusalem was destroyed, right? It was spoken while much had gone wrong. Today, we are living through much the same situation. The people this reading was written, like just like those people that this reading was written for. And Lamentations was basically written just to know for the survivors of Jerusalem who were sitting among the ruins of everything they had lost. They were sitting waiting on God who felt silent. Can I still trust God when the prayer has not yet been answered? Should I still trust God when my medical conditions never change? Should we keep trusting God when we have no work, when we've lost our jobs? Can I still trust God when grief remains? We've lost the loved ones who we never expected to go. And Lamentations, as we read, gives us the answer to these questions that we all ask. God does not become faithful when the answer arrives. God was faithful before. He is faithful while we wait. And he will remain faithful after the storm has passed. And that is the truth I would like you to believe today, that God is faithful always. My brothers and sisters, today, I want us to believe that God is faithful. Our faithfulness begins with God's faithfulness. It's not that we have to work so hard for it. No. It's not that we have to earn it, but our faithfulness begins with God's faithfulness. Our confidence does not begin with how strong we can hold on to God. It begins with who God is. Every morning, that God keeps his promise and whose character does not change when our circumstances change. God's character will remain the same. We learn to hold on God by remembering who he is, listening to his word, and remembering how he has been faithful to us before. I know there will be seasons in our faith when we really feel strong. There are those times when we feel so strong in our faith. And then there are mornings when we are so tired, we are confused and disappointed or afraid. And if our hope depends entirely on the strength of our feelings, then we will struggle because our feelings change. But God's character does not change with our feelings. Abraham gives us a powerful picture of this in Romans chapter 4. It describes him with an extraordinary phrase. It says, this is how it describes him. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Humanly speaking, the promise really seemed so impossible that was given to Abraham. The scripture says Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead and Sarah could not have children. But what do we see here? That much as Abraham had the faith, it did not require him to deny the facts. He knew what he was. His body was as good as dead, and Sarah could not bear children. He faced the facts, and that is faith. But he refused to make those facts greater than God, who made that promise. So, when we are being faithful, doesn't mean that we don't accept the facts. Yes, we may be struggling, that fact is there. We may have lost the loved ones, that fact is there. Things may not be going well, that fact is there. But are we going to let that play the loudest in our hearts? Are we going to let that take over our lives? No. We are saying the fact should not be greater than the God who made the promise. God has made a promise to us. Abraham could have fed only on what his eyes could see. Instead, he continued to trust what God had promised. That is faithfulness. That is faith becoming faithful. He could see what his eyes could see, but he kept trusting in God. That is now, he had faith, and that faith where he keeps trusting in God, that was now becoming faithfulness. The fruit. And some of you are here today. Maybe we've trusted God across entire decades through weddings and funerals, through jobs, losses, and recoveries. We've raised children and grandchildren are born. And God has been faithful again and again and again. For others, maybe the journey is just beginning. Perhaps you want to trust God with something that feels too big to carry it on your own. I want to tell you today that wherever you are on that road of trying to trust in God, the same faithful God who kept his promise to Abraham is able to keep that promise to you. Again, sometimes we do encounter smaller moments in our lives when we understand this personally. At times I usually give some experiences of my own because I understand it, and not because it's about me, but at times people may need some stories just like that. When my family and I left Uganda in about 10, 11 years ago, we left a place that we knew. We left family that we had. We left jobs that we thought everything was good. We left everything that we had worked for. But just that decision to leave alone, just taking that decision to move to Canada with a family of five, uncertain, we don't know what is there, we've never been there. That alone is what I would call faith in an ordinary way. We could not see what was waiting for us on the other end here. Only God was calling us towards it. Much the way Abraham left his place and knew nothing that was going on. And when we came to Canada as skilled immigrants, because when you're coming as a skilled immigrant, The hope is there. I have all this. And what you think is, when I get there, maybe I'm going to land a good job, I'm going to have this, the best of this. And when you come here, you get the shock that what you really thought is not what it is. Yeah. If you thought you were a CEO in your country, when you come here, your first job may be to work as a security guard. And that's what it is. And so what do? You're there. So we lived on, personally, I lived on for about 2 years without seeing the reality. But what I call faith, the decision to move, and then the living on for the 2 years and believing that something will change, God will answer my questions. That's what I call faithfulness. That's growing the fruit. That's the faithfulness. Faith growing to faithfulness. So looking back with every step in this, it wasn't surely easy, but everything was difficult. But what stands out, however, is that God remained faithful through the uncertainty, and I can now see his hand at every stage, even the stages I could not see at that time. It wasn't a dramatic turn. It wasn't that things changed the following day. But each day, something grew. We kept on hoping and trusting God each and every day. So that is again, the fruit. That we keep, you cannot grow, you can't plant something today and you get it tomorrow. You have to plant, you nurture it, you water it, until when you get the fruit of from that. That is, faith has to be grown, it has to be nurtured, and then you get into faithfulness. That's what we are talking about today. So sometimes God does not show us the next 10 years, but sometimes he gives us enough grace just for the next step. And somebody here may be in that place now, many of us may be. You may not be able to see the situation and how it will end. And your prayer today may not be asking God to show you everything. Maybe your prayer today may be just asking God just to show you the next step. God, show me the next step, what I need to take. But if we really believe that God is faithful, then surely something should begin to change in the way we live. Have you ever imagined what life would be like if we really lived that way? If we lived believing God is faithful? If we lived to nurture our faith, to harvest the fruit, to nurture our faith into faithfulness? It grows. Have you ever imagined how different your reaction to the bad news would be if your first response became prayer instead of panic? When we get bad news, the very first thing we do is look at that situation, but not trusting God. But what if, when you had the bad news, instead of panicking, the first thing you do is to pray? Have you ever imagined what your children would learn about God if they watched you stay faithful in your hardest seasons? Not only your best times. Imagine your children looking at you and they say, oh, dad and mom, during this time, things were hard, but they remained faithful. Or, say, when things went bad, our parents gave up. And have you ever imagined what would happen in your relationships if instead of feeding an offense for months and years, you simply begin feeding forgiveness? If every day we are remembering and recalling what has been bad in our relationships, if we do that, imagine what it would be if instead of hanging on to that, we are feeding forgiveness every day. And have you ever imagined being deeply hurt by a loss, but you are not destroyed? Something has really hit you, but you don't feel destroyed. Why? Because you do trust in God. Have you ever imagined that? It takes spiritual maturity to do that. What about our church here? Have you ever imagined being known for simply, we are not known for simply what we believe on Sunday, but being known for the people who remain faithful each and every day after leaving church here? Just imagine that, how it would be. But none of that happens at once. We keep imagining all that, but that will not happen at once. Every one of those moments will start with a small, ordinary choice. And that ordinary choice will grow, will be nurtured. When we say we imagine not hanging on to the blames of our relationship, we won't just wake up one day and say, boo. No. It is going to start with one small thing. And when I talk about that's faith. And then you grow that, nurture that, just like a plant, as we're seeing. The fruits didn't just turn like that, but that tree was grown, it was watered, it was looked after, and eventually get the fruit. That's faithfulness. So in order for us to change, we need to start with that small leap of faith and then grow that faith, and we'll get there. You do not put a seed into the ground on Monday and dig it up on Tuesday because nothing happened. You water it, you protect it, because much of the growth happens when you cannot see. And sometimes what looks like nothing is happening, actually the roots are growing and becoming strong. And those deep roots are what will hold that plant steady when the storm finally comes. And to us, it may not be the roots of the plant, but what we are growing in ourselves. When you've taken that step, I'm going to start being faithful to my family. It won't just wake up. I'm going to start. So you start small, grow it, nurture it. Yeah. If someone has been the most abusive person in a relationship, how would you start that? You won't wake up all of a sudden and you stop it. But over time, you start with one step of faith that, yes, I can do this. And then grow that, nurture it over time, and that will go. That is what it looks like to actually live out everything we have just imagined. As I said, it's not one dramatic answer to every question, but roots growing deeper day after day when we can see them yet or not. So if this is the life that we want, we cannot leave it as a beautiful idea, but we have to make a decision. That's all we want. It's an imaginary thing. We want the best, but if we are going to leave it as a dream, just a beautiful idea, we are going to keep with it. And every day it will go, I want to be the best person. So we must decide what we shall feed. What will you feed? We must make a decision. First, give God the first word. Give God the first word. Tomorrow morning, before the news, before social media, before the messages and demands of the day, give God the first word. Read the scripture. Pray. Even if it takes a minute, just get out of bed and say, "Thank you, Lord," before I actually start looking at the news and everything that is happening in the world. Begin by remembering His mercies, and that His mercies are new every morning. And for some of you, that may be simple as reading as one verse, just on your phone, just do that. The second is, stop continually feeding what is destroying your peace. Remember, whatever you feed grows. Whatever we feed keeps growing. You nurture it, you water it. So you feed all those that are destroying your peace. No? You want to listen to all the bad things that will hurt you, so you are feeding them. And they grow, and they grow, and they grow until they bear fruit. Right? We should know what is happening in the world. I know Christians are not indifferent to war, hunger, suffering. But these realities should move us to compassion, to prayer and action. Being informed is different from allowing brokenness to become the only voice speaking in our hearts. The third is, let us practice one act of faithfulness where God has placed you. Practice one act of faithfulness where God has placed you. Just keep your word, as small as that. Keep your word, right? Be present for your family, right? Do your work honestly. Forgive each other. Pray when you said you would pray. And help someone in need. Or keep serving where nobody applauds. Nobody will see you. But the God who sees everything will see you. And for the young people here, maybe, one act of faithfulness this week might be just choosing honesty when it costs you something with your friends. Just be honest. You may lose your friends by being honest, but just be honest. That could be the act that you may do this week. One of those decisions may have touched the very place where God is speaking to you today. The important thing is not to admire the idea of faithfulness, but respond to God wherever you are. I cannot tell what your decision is, right? But maybe, perhaps, as you have listened this morning, God may be already talking to you, and where God has been speaking to you. And as I said, faithfulness has a price. Faithfulness has a price. And sometimes that price is just waiting. It's just waiting for God to act. And sometimes that price is giving up control in our lives. Just giving up control, and that's the price. And sometimes it is choosing obedience when another option really looks the easiest to do. But every day we are planting something. Every day we are watering something. The question to us all is, what are you growing? Brothers and sisters, today, when we live here today, the world will still have problems. Some of us will go home to situations that have never changed. The bills will still be there. The medical concerns still there. The relationship would still need healing. But Lamentations teaches us that faithfulness does not require us to deny the ruins that we are in. And Hebrews teaches us that faith does not require us to see the whole road. So perhaps the question God leaves us with today is very simple. What am I feeding? Whatever you feed will grow. Not always overnight. It won't be dramatic, but it will grow steadily. Whatever you feed will grow, trust me. And it's you to decide what you are feeding today. What are you growing? And one day, looking back over a season you once thought would never survive, you may find yourself saying what the people in Lamentation said in the middle of their own ruins. And that was, great is your faithfulness. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.